Oceana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He dives, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row!
Miles Boykin is in the end zone!
The Irish have come back!
Your hosts are Eric Hansen and Darren Pritchett.
Welcome you to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat from 96.1. WSBT, the sports leader. Our program is brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. By Goshen Heart and Vascular. Be the hero your heart deserves. Visit GoshenHeartAndVascular.org. By Blackthorn Golf Club. And by Laven Insurance, the agency that rocks CY at LavenInsurance.com. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday evening. We kind of have the whole crew ready for this hour of the program because we are going to hold a Sports Beat NFL mock draft. Picks 1 through 8, and we're stopping at 8 because that's where the Chicago Bears select. Of course, the Colts sit at number 6, so we're going to bring in some guests along the way to help us pick the first 8 selections in the NFL draft, and we'll see if we match up with what happens tomorrow with the NFL draft getting underway, which you can hear on 96.1 WSBT following Weekday Sports Beat. So I'm Darren Pritchett. We've got in studio, Sean Stiers and Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish Football Insider for the South Bend Tribune. So we'll have some guest pickers. And I think magically, Sean, through technology, the legendary Mel Kiper Jr. will make an appearance or two.
That's right. That's it. That's the plan for today. Well, we should hear from Mel Kiper Jr. as well. We're pretty close to ready to go, I think, with our mock.
Very good. So here is the order. We're not going to do any trades. I think there could be trades tomorrow at picks 5 and 6.
Yeah.
But just for our sanity, we're just going to just pick 1 through 8. The Cleveland Browns are on the clock. Then it'll be the New York Giants, followed by the New York Jets. And then Cleveland makes a return appearance at number 4. And then the final 4 picks that we will make today in our mock draft. At number 5, it's Denver. Pick number 6, the Indianapolis Colts. Tampa Bay is at 7, and the Chicago Bears will be the final pick in our mock draft at number 8. So that's how we're going to spend the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, toward the tail end of the hour, we're going to hand the microphone to Eric, and he's going to talk to you about another verbal commitment for the Fighting Irish football team. This time, Kyle Hamilton, a safety out of Georgia, and that makes 5 verbals in the last 5 days for the Fighting Irish. So Eric will give you all the details on Kyle Hamilton coming up at the back end of this hour. So, Sean, you're kind of the traffic cop here. Are we ready for pick number 1?
I think
what you're saying is I need to tap dance and do the Roger Goodell speech so I can get booed for 5 minutes.
I'm trying to see if our producer Jerry has our first guest picker ready to go. I haven't got notice. He is not ready to go yet. So,
Something's in the works.
Cleveland is on the clock, but Cleveland is not ready. I don't know if they're, you know, in the process of turning in their draft card or what.
Remember a few years ago, was it the Vikings that didn't get their card in? And then there was a run of picks that everybody tried to jump in front of Minnesota. I think it was the Vikings a few years ago.
I feel like, you know, I've been the commissioner in my fantasy football league for something like 24 of the last 25 years. I took a break off a couple years ago because I was tired of the knuckleheads when you get online. Something's wrong with my draft room. And you stop the draft and you put it on pause. That's what I feel like.
Well,
right now.
And then, you know what happens then? They pick somebody that was taken 3 rounds
exactly.
ago.
Exactly.
All right.
So we are ready now. We are actually
ready to roll.
Yes, we are ready to roll. We have our first guest picker on the line and ready to pick.
And you know the thing is, Sean, this guy is the perfect guy to pick for the Cleveland Browns because he is a diehard Cleveland fan.
Right.
And you know what? All the time at Brian Kelly press conferences, he never gets to speak his mind about football. So this is his opportunity to be front and center, and we welcome Michael Birch to the program. He is in charge of Notre Dame football media relations over at the University of Notre Dame and a diehard Browns, Cavaliers, Indians fan. Michael, first off, thanks for doing this. We greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Hopefully I will enjoy this draft as I will the real one tomorrow.
That's right. Well, let me ask you this. It's obvious Cleveland is interested in a quarterback. Just from your standpoint as a fan, is there any way in the world they don't go quarterback?
I have a hard time imagining that they go any other direction. I think you could make a really good argument that they maybe should, based on they need so much, quite frankly. But I don't know that the optics and how that would be perceived of passing on a QB again would play. I don't think they're in that position to be able to do it.
I think
they will draft a quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You could see them taking a running back like Barkley and then come back and getting a quarterback with the fourth pick. But I think you make a great point from a PR optics standpoint. They're almost in a position to take quarterback. What's interesting is you've seen a lot of these quarterbacks in person, including the guy from USC. So how difficult of a decision do you think the Browns have with the quarterbacks on the board?
I think it's really hard because, it's obviously an inexact science. They've proven that. Or maybe it's an exact science for the Browns with their quarterback history. But it's tough. I think all these guys, based on what the experts say, they all have great strengths and they all have some question marks. But the thing that never, I think the biggest thing is that generally a guy's success is more driven once he arrives at a place and what's around him and the environment that's around him as much as how prepared he was at that point. Everybody uses the Browns not drafting Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson last year as examples. Oh, they passed on those guys. Those guys would have been incredibly successful in Cleveland. Well, they benefited from being on, be fair, superior teams and superior talent around them. And that still plays a big role.
No question. And Deshaun, he's a guy you don't know if he's going to stay healthy. And his legs are a big part of what makes him an elite quarterback. So that also was a factor. Well, we've danced around enough, and the Cleveland Browns are on the clock. So, Michael, I'll give you the stage. As the GM of the Cleveland Browns, what do you want them to do, and what do you think they should do?
What I think I would like them to do and what I probably will do, probably different, but I think they will go quarterback, and if I was the GM, I would select Sam Darnold of Southern Cal as the first pick of the draft.
You've seen him in person two times. Is there anything about what you saw that gets you excited about him in Cleveland?
You know, I think there's certainly he has, in terms of his size, his stature, his arm strength, has some athletic ability. I like what I can tell the makeup of the kid. At the end of the day, he's started only a couple years in college, so he's definitely got some room to grow. He's certainly been in an environment where he's challenged off the field as well when it comes to scrutiny and the challenge of being the face of a program. So I like that part as well. Yep. And I think character-wise, not to speak to maybe some other quarterbacks, I think he's excited about what's available to him in Cleveland. So that would be my guy.
All right, so the Cleveland Browns take Sam Darnold of USC, the quarterback. So I'll let you go back into the war room for a couple of moments, and we'll hear from you again in maybe 8 or 9 minutes when Cleveland is back on the clock at number 4. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, Michael, thank you. There you go, Michael Birch from Notre Dame picking for the Cleveland Browns, taking Sam Darnold, the quarterback from USC. And now we can hear from draft expert Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN on the new quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Back in August, you thought Sam Darnold was going to be clearly, without question, the number one pick overall, no doubt about it. Then he begins the season in a good fashion, but then late September, Washington State game, then the Notre Dame game, then culminating with the Ohio State game. Major league struggles there, a lot of unforced errors, turnovers, got into some bad habits. He needs to kind of recreate what we saw 2 years ago, and if he can do that, Sam Darnold, based on a very strong pro day, has a chance to be a franchise quarterback. But the concern right now is, can he break some of those bad habits he picked up this season due to the loss of some key offensive linemen and his top receivers led by Juju Smith-Schuster?
There is Mel Kiper on Sam Darnold. Sean and Eric, we saw this guy up close and personal. He seems to be, dare I say, the safest pick of the quarterbacks. There might be other guys with more upside. There might be more guys with red flags. This seems to be the guy you kind of know what you're going to get. That's the way I get the feel NFL teams are looking at him.
I think he's a safe pick. I mean, if he had come out after his redshirt sophomore year or redshirt freshman year, which he couldn't, they would be a lot more excited about him just because of the interceptions last year. But he ran into some of the same things DeShone Kizer did in his second year as a starter. Rebuild offensive line, didn't have the receiving cast that he had the year before. But I still think you're right. I mean, he may be not the highest ceiling, but definitely a guy with a high floor.
Okay, so
I think Sean agrees with my opinion by playing that music.
I do. That was my trumpet play. No. The biggest concern I have about him, he has thrown a lot of interceptions. I apologize. That was the side computer over here. But the fumbles as well. I mean, we saw it right off the bat in the Notre Dame USC game last year, and he had a lot of fumbles, and I worry about how a guy who plays in traditionally a warm climate, who fumbles a lot already, how he's going to hold on to the ball in a cold weather city like Cleveland. So that would be my biggest concern.
Okay, so there you go. Michael Bursch of Notre Dame picking for the Cleveland Browns takes Sam Darnold, quarterback from USC. Now on the clock, the New York Football Giants coming off a very, very disappointing season. So we had Scott Wright from DraftCountdown.com on the program, who has done an amazing job the last 20 years breaking down the NFL draft, longtime guest on our program. So on yesterday's program, I asked for him to be the general manager of the New York Giants. What do you think they should do? What would you do? And here was his response to who the New York Giants should go with in tomorrow's NFL draft.
I think the decision's between Saquon Barkley and Bradley Chubb, the defensive end from NC State. And I think it might be a little closer than a lot of people believe. They really like Bradley Chubb, but ultimately I think Barkley's going to be the guy if they stay. But there's going to be some trade offers, and it's going to take a lot for them to move down. But if they do, then we're going to have an early run on those quarterbacks.
All right, so if the pick stays, Scott Wright from DraftCountdown.com says the Giants take running back from Penn State, Saquon Barkley. And the debate is, guys, do you take a running back this high? The shelf life of running backs a lot shorter than other players. I know Scott gave the example that a guy like Zeke Elliott with the Cowboys, his shelf life might be 6 or 7 years. Jalen Ramsey, the defensive back for the Jaguars, he might be good for 10, 11, 12 years. So let the debate begin, guys. As a GM, would you worry about taking a running back that high?
I would not. I would take him. And in fact, if I were the Cleveland Browns, I think I would take Saquon Barkley at number one and then go with whoever I want, the best remaining quarterback at number four, based on, as Michael Burch was talking about, their track record with quarterbacks. I think he's a good enough talent, and they need enough help, especially offensively. They need playmakers and explosive players on offense. I'd take him number one overall if I were Cleveland.
I don't disagree with Sean, because I think it's not just a running back. It's this multidimensional running back that seems to fit the pro game so well and has intangibles to go with these crazy measurables. I mean, the guy is a beast with the bench press and in the 40 and everything else. I just really like him. So I have no quibble with Saquon Barkley going second.
Okay, so Scott Wright from DraftCountdown.com selecting for the New York Giants running back Saquon Barkley from Penn State. Back to ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr.
in the caliber with Todd Gurley, Zeke Elliott, Leonard Fournette. He's certainly as good as any of those guys coming out in terms of rating. He's a tremendous runner with great lower body strength. He's a very good receiver who you can put in the slot and create those matchup advantages down the field. And what really is key for me for a rookie running back is an outstanding blocker. He's your last line of defense. He will hold up well in protection for your quarterback. Also brings a great attitude, great approach. Hopefully Barkley follows in the footsteps of Zeke Elliott, Leonard Fournette, and Todd Gurley.
From that statement, sounds like a complete running back, and it'll work a little better than Kijana Carter, who went number one from Penn State to the Cincinnati Bengals many moons ago. So, first two picks are in the books for our SportsBeat NFL mock draft. Darren Pritchett, Sean Stiers, Eric Hansen with you. Our thanks to Jerry Janowski. He's behind the scenes getting these callers lined up as well for our mock draft. So we move along to selection number three, and it is the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. The only reason why I missed the draft in New York is the Jets fans booing and the Jets fans chanting. That was like a highlight. Well, the New York Jets are on the clock in our mock draft, and Sean is going to select for the New York Jets, who moved up, traded to get to the number three spot in the draft, and it sure would seem the only reason they did that, Sean, was to go and select their quarterback of the future.
You would think so, because after the Browns, the Jets are probably the franchise that needs a quarterback as much as anyone, and we're talking about a long drought at quarterback. They've whiffed on their share of quarterbacks over the years, from Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith. Josh McCown took most of the snaps last year. So depending on who you listen to, and I mean, we're at that time, we're sitting here the day before the draft, everything is a smokescreen. So I don't know how much stock you can buy into anything that you hear. But depending on who you listen to, it comes down to Josh Rosen from UCLA or Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma, and I am going to go with Josh Rosen for the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
All right, so Josh Rosen out of UCLA, quarterback. A lot of choices at the quarterback position, and you just get the feel. I don't know if any Jet fan would be upset one way or the other at this point who you go with, because there just seems to be a bunch of quarterbacks lumped together at the same level. Everybody kind of has their flaw. So I guess each individual fan has their favorite, but from an overall standpoint, I don't know if there's going to be that much quivering from the media or the fan base depending on which quarterback they go with.
I would beg to differ.
I think
Josh Rosen has some issues. I think he has issues in terms of durability. And I think he has some issues in terms of a guy that's really going to be outspoken. So he's either going to be beloved or just a pariah in New York. And it'll depend on whether he wins or not. But he is going to be a polarizing figure. And I would probably go with a different quarterback there. That would be my preference. But I'm not a Jets fan, so I don't care.
Would your choice be Baker Mayfield if that was...
I would take either Baker Mayfield, although he could be a polarizing figure too, or Josh Allen, since Josh Allen's still on the board. I like him from Wyoming. Rosen just seemed like he was hurt all the time, and his biggest headlines, and he didn't win, and his biggest headlines were for what he was saying that was controversial, not what he was doing on the field. So that's why I'm not a big Josh Rosen fan. And I don't know how much he loves football either. And I think that's something GMs try to get to the bottom of. But, I mean, he's certainly a talented kid. But I think there's better alternatives.
See, I think Baker Mayfield in New York would be a bigger lightning rod than Josh Rosen.
He could.
Rosen completes passes, which is pretty important. And he's got good mechanics and all that. But the issues that you bring up, outside of all the...
Baker Mayfield won by a lot. I mean, had much better statistics in college and was much more successful quarterback. And his teams won more games than Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen is a bigger quarterback, but Baker Mayfield, I mean, he was much more durable and he was a bigger winner. I realize it's a different game at the pros, but I'm not sold on Josh Rosen. Maybe, 5 years from now we can replay this tape.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see what Mel Kiper has to think about the new quarterback for the New York Jets, UCLA's Josh Rosen.
We look at Rosen throwing the football. Very artistic. Throws the tight spirals. Throws accurate balls. Very catchable balls. In the 3-5-7 step drop situations, he's ideal. He's pro-ready. All that. The concern with Josh Rosen is two straight years of injury. Shoulder 2 years ago, missed half the season. This year, a concussion. 32 days concussion protocol. Not able to play in their bowl game. Is he a guy who will galvanize a team? Is he a guy that the teammates will gravitate to? Will he be the first one in, last one out? All these different things from an intangible standpoint, and the injury issue is why, instead of being the clear cut number one, number two pick overall, you're talking about a guy right now who's going to have to prove some things once he's in the NFL.
Sean, do you want to go Bill Tobin on Mel Kiper? Are you okay?
No, I'll tell you what. And I don't disagree with some of the stuff that Eric is talking about. And again, it's almost flip a coin. I think that Baker Mayfield is, it's going to be one of those two, and I'm just trying. And I don't follow the Jets that closely, but I've tried to, since I have to pick for them, I've tried to consume as much as I can about who they're most likely to go after. So I'll stick with Rosen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Baker Mayfield either. But okay. You know, I think there are going to be a lot of these kind of arguments tomorrow night during the draft as these guys get picked, because there's so many different opinions about each of these guys, and I don't think that there's a consensus on any of them. There's guys who like some of these guys, but I don't know that there's anyone who really loves any of these guys.
All right, let's move along in our mock draft. We're back to the Cleveland Browns, who are selecting at number 4, and they've got to be fairly happy right now. You probably expected for Barkley to go in the top 3 and probably two quarterbacks to go. So now we go back to Michael Burse from Notre Dame, who's picking for the Cleveland Browns. You know, I got to ask you this, Michael. I've heard this talked about, and Eric and Sean, if you want to jump in too, but there's been conversation in the media that maybe the Browns would take two quarterbacks in the top 4. I don't understand that thinking. Do you have any rationale why they would possibly do that? And I would assume you'd be totally against that.
I'm against it. I wouldn't support it. I guess you could say it gives you a second chance to be right. Gives you better odds to be right. Although it also gives you odds to be wrong twice.
That's true.
So yeah, I can't imagine doing that. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's a lot of value at a 4 spot to potentially draft a backup. So, no matter what happens with, you know, the number 1 pick, Darnold, and then Tyrod Taylor as the veteran on the roster right now.
If Barkley's on the board at 4, is Barkley your top choice?
If Barkley was, Barkley was on the board, most certainly that would be the way I would go. Thought very hard of taking Barkley at number 1, and I would be okay if the Browns decided to do that. I'm in the camp that I'm okay with the optics if they don't draft the quarterback.
Good.
But I don't think that the franchise is in that position to do it. So, but I would be okay if they did that.
All right.
They need good football players.
No doubt. Well, you're leading the Browns revolution. You've got Sam Darnold as your quarterback from USC with the number 1 pick. And now, Michael, you're on the clock at number 4. What do you want to do?
Well, this is a pretty easy one. The Browns historically have at times traded down when they've had somewhere in a pick of 4 to 6 to get future picks rather than just take the best available player. And they've also tended to ignore where you need to have the best players, and that's the line of scrimmage. So with the 4th pick, we're going to take the best remaining player in the draft, and that is Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame.
Boom! Oh, there it is. The Bronco fans are very upset with this selection. But how about that? There he is, the offensive guard from Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson, going to the Browns. And, Michael, I can't blame you one bit, because you've got your starting interior offensive lineman for the next 12 years and probably a Pro Bowl most of those seasons. So I think, even though a lot of people don't like taking a guard at this spot, I think this is a different guard than the normal offensive guard.
I 100% agree with you. The thing that I would say also on this is, you know, the thing with Q is he's not only the best at his position, he's not only the best offensive lineman, but the Browns locker room needs to add some energy, needs to add some leadership, needs to add some character, needs to add some toughness, all the things that you want. And I can promise you there's nobody in the draft that displays those more than him. So he helps you on the field. He helps you in the locker room. And, you know, I don't think that anybody in Dallas is saying, man, we shouldn't have drafted Zach Martin that high when they've got a, you know, multiple, you know, Pro Bowl, all pro player, you know. So well, I get it. I understand what people say about a guard that high, but Q is a special, special player.
Michael, before we let you go, you know, here's your chance to grill Eric Hanson. I mean, the floor is yours. If there's anything you'd like to say to him or ask him, I mean, this is a great opportunity.
You know, I don't have too much. I was going to get on Stiers for getting on me for not taking Barkley at number one. You know, the next thing that Stiers teaches anybody about football will be the first time.
So. Well, I know we're right. Well, enjoy that view from the roof next year, Sean, watching Notre Dame football. Oh, that was fantastic.
No. Sean's going to be refilling the hot dogs.
Yeah. Might be.
Yeah. Hey, Michael. Over here. Hey, Michael, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this. And seriously, thanks for all you do, helping us in the media do our jobs covering Notre Dame football. So thank you for what you do, and thanks for being a part of this circus. We greatly appreciate it.
No problem, guys. It's fun. Hopefully tomorrow. Like I said, hopefully tomorrow night is as fun as this was for me tomorrow night. So,
all right,
hope for the best.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Greatly appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon, guys.
All right. Michael Birch.
If anyone ever has parking issues at Notre Dame, direct your inquiries to Michael Birch. He loves doing those.
All right. So we're halfway through our mock draft, and the fireworks already underway. And we've got four more picks to go. Carl Deffenbaugh, formerly of WSBT, now at Fox 6 in Milwaukee, will pick for his beloved Broncos next. Then Colts season ticket holder Dean Huppert, the athletic director at Mishawaka, will pick for the Colts at 6. Eric Hanson, who has no ties to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, will pick 7th. And then the sports director, WSBT 22, Pete Byrne, a Bears fan, will wrap up our draft at number 8. So let's take a timeout, and we'll get Carl on the line, and the Broncos will be on the clock next as our mock draft on SportsBeat continues from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. SportsBeat continues. We're in the midst of our NFL mock draft on SportsBeat. We're through four picks. Cleveland took Sam Darnold, quarterback USC, at number 1. The Giants go with running back Saquon Barkley of Penn State at 2. Number 3, the Jets pick Josh Rosen, quarterback UCLA. And at number 4, Cleveland takes Notre Dame offensive guard Quentin Nelson. And before we get to the Broncos, let's hear from Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN on the great Quentin Nelson.
A mauler, a destroyer is what Quentin Nelson is. I've compared him since the get-go to Steve Hutchinson, who was a great offensive guard at Michigan, had a Hall of Fame career in the NFL. I think he's that type of player. Big, strong, physical. He brings a linebacker mentality to the offensive guard spot. I think there's going to be a temptation to try him at tackle. If not, like I say, it doesn't matter. He will be a phenomenal guard for a long time.
Can't disagree with any of that. Quentin Nelson at the NFL level, very, very exciting, and wouldn't be shocked if he goes very high in this 2018 NFL draft tomorrow night. In our draft, he goes to the Browns at number 4, so nothing a quarterback hates worse than pressure up the middle, and you got a pretty good guy to protect Sam Darnold up the middle. So now we move along to the Denver Broncos at selection number 5. Are they interested in a quarterback? That's the big question. Case Keenum was signed as a free agent from the Vikings by Denver. So they have had a lot of time with Baker Mayfield, the quarterback from Oklahoma. They coached him at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. They have been linked for a long time. And so with Darnold, Barkley, Rosen, and Nelson going in the first 4, there are still 2 of the high-end quarterbacks remaining. So number 5, guys, would probably be a hot spot to make a trade, and I wouldn't be shocked if Denver wants to move out of 5 because the Bills and the Cardinals are 2 teams that would love to get up there, and there's a lot of good draft picks that could possibly come their way. Well, the guy that has to worry about all this is Carl Deffenbaugh, formerly sports for WSBT 22. Now he works for Fox 6 in Milwaukee. Diehard Denver Bronco fan. So my Broncos are now in the hands of my good friend Carl Deffenbaugh. Carl, good to catch up with you for a couple of moments. How are things in Milwaukee?
Great to hear you guys as well. Things are going wonderfully out here. The snow is almost melted. There's still a couple piles lying around, but we are very much ready for spring and, of course, the draft tomorrow. Although I will say that Quentin Nelson pick hurt me. That was who I was targeting, trying to shore up the offensive line. So we've got to rally the troops here in the war room.
As a Bronco fan, I really want Quentin Nelson at 5, even though you're not supposed to take a guard that high. He's not the normal offensive guard, so I was disappointed in Michael Burch as well, taking my guy at number 4. So if the Broncos don't trade, let me start with this. Do you think they should draft a quarterback knowing they just put a little financial security into Case Keenum?
I keep going back and forth on this because I want to think that this team is still has so many of the pieces that won them the Super Bowl just a few years ago. There's stars on the defensive line with Von Miller and Shane Ray for sure. The receiver core I really like still with Demaryius Thomas as well as Emmanuel Sanders. So I think there's enough pieces that you hope Case Keenum can continue some of the wave that he was riding last year. And instead of going Baker Mayfield, I think I still feel pretty good about some of the defenders on the board, even though Nelson got picked. So I'm going to stay away from the quarterback, even though they're getting linked with Mayfield a lot. And I think they are a team that will likely trade back and kind of take advantage of some extra picks in the deep draft. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of this exercise, I'm going between two guys. I think Denzel Ward, the quarterback from Ohio State, is interesting given that they lost to Aqib Talib. But Bradley Chubb is still sitting there at number 5, the defensive end from NC State. So that's going to be my guy. Pair him with Ray and with Von Miller, and that is a wrecking ball addition to the defensive line, hopefully along the same lines of the formula that won him the title a few years back.
Well, some say he's a little Von Miller and a little bit Khalil Mack. Boy, if that's the case, I really like the sound of that, and you put together that pass rush. All of a sudden, Carl, that defense is going to look pretty spectacular. I think it comes down to what they get out of Case Keenum. If Keenum can play anywhere close to the way he played last year, I mean, you got to feel like they're in contention to be a playoff team once again, and the AFC might be a little up in the air this year.
You would think so, and they certainly have the model for it with that team that won. I think Keenum can certainly be a better version of what they've gotten from the quarterback position the past few years, as long as that offensive line gets shored up. It's been such a weakness, and that's why it kind of hurt to lose Nelson there by just a pick to Mr. Burch. But I think if they can pull some maybe guard or offensive line talent later in the draft to pair with what they have on the weapon side of things on the offense, I think Keenum will be just fine.
All right, so Carl takes for the Denver Broncos defensive end Bradley Chubb from NC State. Carl, please say hello to Suzanne Spencer, our old colleague at WSBT. She works at Fox 6 Milwaukee, and hopefully we can spend a little more time talking soon about all things Milwaukee. But for now, we greatly appreciate your time and this exercise, and I'm looking forward to Bradley Chubb being a Bronco.
I will do that. Suzanne's doing an awesome job for us up here. The city pretty pumped for the Bucks game tomorrow night, trying to
Wrap
it up this series. So, yeah, it's a good time to be in Milwaukee.
Awesome. Hey, Carl, good to catch up with you. Be well.
Thank you. You guys as well.
All right, Carl Deffenbaugh, formerly of WSBT 22, now at Fox 6 in Milwaukee, goes with Bradley Chubb. And here is what Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN thinks about Bradley Chubb.
Bradley Chubb, Mario Williams. Think about Mario Williams when he came out of NC State, number 1 pick overall. Bradley Chubb, not quite as dynamic an overall talent as Mario Williams was, but close enough to be a guy that is one of the elite players in this draft, and certainly, I think, the best defensive player in this draft. Brings it every play. He's not a defensive end who takes plays off or paces himself during the course of a game. He's a tone setter, had a great workout in conjunction with productivity, makes Bradley Chubb a guy who you would view as an outstanding player moving forward in the NFL.
Eric, Sean, quick thought on Bradley Chubb going to Denver?
Well, he was a 3-star prospect coming out of high school. How's that?
How dare he?
Yeah. I was hoping that he would still be there at 7. I liked him a lot. Watched him play a lot this year, including in person against Notre Dame. I think that is a really good pick for Denver there. I didn't get a chance to ask Carl, though, if he had run into Lenny and Squiggy.
We'll get him back on the line just to find out. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, so Bradley Chubb, defensive end, NC State, goes to Denver, pick number 5. And are we ready for pick number 6? The Indianapolis Colts are on the clock. How are we looking with our guest picker?
Well, I don't see him on the line. I think we're still trying to track him. Up, there he is. He is ready to go. We just got him as we spoke, so.
Okay, we'll set things up then. He is an Indianapolis Colts season ticket holder, so by golly, he has a right to pick for the Indianapolis Colts. And he is the athletics director at the Mishawaka High School. Of course, we kind of are teammates now at WSBT Radio, carrying football and basketball games. He had a big day yesterday getting a new football coach, so we appreciate Dean Huppert taking a couple of moments to put on his Indianapolis Colts thinking cap for a couple of moments with pick number 6. Dean, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Darren. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. Congratulations on your new football coach. You got to be excited.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a great day yesterday, and Keith Kinder's was proud at the press conference, and man, he was in the office 3 or 4 times today. We're already talking camps and thinking about schedules in the future and trying to get things ready. I think we're down to 114 days now, so that countdown keeps moving on.
Oh my goodness, that's really, really scary. Well, you were on the
thing
clock.
Is he wasn't talking about a mock draft either. He knows his players, and he knows what his offense can do already.
Very true. Well, your job is to help out the Indianapolis Colts. I'm assuming Andrew Luck will be able to throw an NFL football by the time the season gets underway. Just to be curious, real quick, any thought of taking quarterback here?
Not at all. No, okay. I'm confident that he's going to be coming back. I was confident that the guys in front of me would be choosing quarterback, though. I was looking at Bradley Chubb. I was thinking of Quentin Nelson. I had Shaquan Barkley, and man, you guys are taking all my guys.
Well, the Colts are a candidate maybe to trade out of pick number 6 if those quarterbacks are still there. And for the sake of our exercise and for the lack of creating headaches, we're not going to make trades.
Sure,
so if this scenario unfolded, Darnold, Barkley, Rosen, Nelson, Chubb are gone, are there a couple of names that stick out, Dean, that you're choosing from at number 6?
You know, in this scenario, I'm looking at either a defensive end, and I really like Texas San Antonio's Marcus Davenport. We're looking for that pass rusher, and, you know, thinking about the glory days, running back and pass rusher have been key to the success of that quarterback. The quarterback and receivers always work well together, but I would actually trade this pick down and try to get down to maybe 11 or 12 and get Mike McGlinchey. So that's who I'm going to go with. When we bring Andrew Luck back, we've had so many problems, too many sacks, and he's had some problems. I want him to be able to stand in that pocket, be comfortable, and if there would be a guy like Nelson who's going to be a mauler, or McGlinchey who's going to be able to handle those big guys coming at him, and he can just sit back there and do his job and go to practice and think about the game plan, we're going to go offensive line with Mike McGlinchey.
All right, he's considered the best tackle in the draft, and to be curious, left tackle or right tackle?
I would be going with left tackle to think about his abilities and to also think about having stability, having a young guy. And let's be honest, the Colts aren't thinking about Super Bowl next year. They're 2 or 3 defensive backs down. So to have a guy that he could work with and then have stability for years to come, I think that's the way the Colts need to go, is get that offensive lineman, maybe 2, maybe even a guy that they've got some bench strength, and keep building from that area.
Can't blame you, and I think you're right. They're probably going to trade out of this particular spot, but for our exercise, McGlinchey goes to the Indianapolis Colts, and that's probably enough football for you for a couple of days. You've had a new head coach to hire. You've taken care of the mock draft, so now you can just sit back and relax at the back table and just kick your feet up for a couple of days. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Let's go with that scenario, because there haven't been any postponements, rainouts, and we have nothing else to do in our department. But we're actually looking forward to going to the Moose Krause Dinner tonight, and we've got some high school football there with all the outstanding coaches and athletes, and it should be a great time. They always put on an excellent program, and it's a great scholarship program that they help out kids.
Very good. Hey, Dean, thank you for all you do. Greatly appreciate it, and thank you for being a part of this exercise.
All right, thank you, and we love the partnership with AM 960 and 96.1. Thank you, Darren.
You bet, as do we. Thank you very much. Dean Huppert picking for the Indianapolis Colts. So there's our other guy, guys, going in the first round, Mike McGlinchey. And for our exercise, he is the starting left tackle for the Indianapolis Colts. And again, I think the Colts move down. Maybe they get him in 10 or 11, who knows. But Mike McGlinchey, there you go, guys.
Yeah, I think with you're right, with all those quarterbacks still remaining there, I think that's a prime spot for either Denver or the Colts to trade down. But can't go wrong with Mike McGlinchey either. I think he and Quentin Nelson are both going to be staples for a long time in the NFL.
We go to pick number 7 in our mock draft, and it is Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune. He just likes shooting off the cannon of the pirate ship down in Tampa, so that's why he's picking for the Buccaneers. And a parrot's going to help pick for the Buccaneers in one of their picks in like the third or fourth round. Yeah, it's actually happening. So, Mr. Hansen, what are you thinking about here at number 7?
Right, the parrot will deliver the day 3 picks. I am not going to do this in a parrot voice, however.
That's disappointing.
I was hoping that there were 3 wild cards that I was going to take regardless of need, and that was Barkley, Nelson, and Chubb. Were they there, I would have ignored the needs and gone with one of those guys. Since they are not, I have 3 guys that I'm looking at. Probably number 1 need for Tampa is cornerback, and then running back, second, safety, third, some offensive tackle and offensive line depth. Go down the road. But so I'm looking at 3 guys. Safety Derwin James from Florida State. Minka Fitzpatrick from Alabama, who's a safety with cornerback skills. And cornerback Denzel Ward from Ohio State. I just think Minka Fitzpatrick is a tremendous football player. Mike Mayock has him as the number 5 player overall on his board. He can play corner or safety. And so my pick is Minka Fitzpatrick. Brandon Wimbush's former high school teammate at number 7.
Okay, very good. Sean Sires, you going to give him the thumbs up for that?
I think that's a good pick.
All right, I do too.
We're in agreement now.
I like that. He's a very versatile guy, and let's see if Mel Kiper Jr. likes the selection of Fitzpatrick to Tampa Bay.
Look at Minka Fitzpatrick. He doesn't have the explosive athletic testing numbers, but on the field with the pads on, great versatility, can play corner, slot, safety, which he did all 3 at Alabama. Played for Nick Saban, who's a defensive back guru with a very, very sophisticated scheme. And I think from a knowledge standpoint, from an NFL-ready standpoint, Nick Saban will make the argument he's the smartest defensive back I've ever coached. That means a lot. And he's a true playmaker who goes about his business in a professional manner. And when the ball is in his air and there's a chance for an interception, he comes through with a turnover.
I think he liked that pick.
I think so.
I think it made his hair stand up.
I think it did. All right, so Minka Fitzpatrick of Alabama goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So let's recap. We've got 1 pick to go. Sam Darnold, quarterback USC, went to the Browns. Saquon Barkley, running back Penn State, to the Giants. The Jets at 3. Josh Rosen, quarterback UCLA. Cleveland back on the board at 4. Picked offensive guard from Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson. Denver at 5. Went with defensive end NC State, Bradley Chubb. Number 6, the Colts wanted to move out of the spot. Dropped down to take this guy a little lower. But for our exercise, they're going to go with the guy that they want on their board. Mike McGlinchey, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Then Minka Fitzpatrick, defensive back Alabama, comes in at number 7. So we are now up to our 8th and final pick of the draft, and it belongs to the Chicago Bears. Pete Byrne, the sports director at WSBT 22. I know he's out on assignment getting ready to do a report at the top of the hour, so he's very, very busy right now. But I think he might have a couple of seconds here to check in. Is that you, Pete?
Never too busy to talk about the Bears.
That's right. Well, you feel like the Bears got a little momentum right now, don't they?
I don't know. I'd like to feel that way. I don't know if I do feel that way.
They actually have recognizable wide receivers now, so I feel like that's a step in the right direction.
That's a step in the right direction. I think they've probably got a pretty solid running back, and I think they have sufficiently unmarked Trestman the defense to where it's at least serviceable. Gosh, the notion of the Bears having the worst defense in the NFL consecutive years is just, like, I never thought that was possible until a few years ago.
So if Quentin Nelson's on the board, how likely do the Chicago Bears take him as you look at the situation?
That's what I'm hoping happens tomorrow night. You know, when Michael Burke stepped up and took him, I wasn't shocked. But fortunately for the Chicago Bears, I don't think the Cleveland Browns brass is as football savvy as Michael Burke is.
Ooh.
So I'm hoping that he was still available for the Bears at number eight, because I think that's one of the things they really need is offensive line. They're really, really weak there. Their best lineman, Kyle Long, can't stay healthy for more than half of the season. And like I said, you've got a really solid running back. Jury's out on Mitch Trubisky, but you've made your move to get your potential franchise quarterback. You've upgraded the wide receiver position to a point. They really, really need help on the offensive line, and I don't think you would take McGlinchey with the number eight pick. I don't think you'd take any other offensive lineman in this draft with the number eight pick. I would also be in favor of trading down a few spots if Nelson were gone. But if Nelson's there, I think you absolutely grab him. I think he's the best fit out of any of those top-tier guys for the Bears.
Okay, so give me a couple of people you're thinking about, then go ahead and make your pick for the Chicago Bears.
Well, since it's not going to be Q, I think the next best several players are defensive players. And you can never have too much talent on your front seven. As I said, the Bears have gotten marginally better on the defensive side of the ball, but they can still use help. I think Roquan Smith from Georgia, a big, fast, you know, rushing linebacker, would do well for the Bears. I'm also interested in Tremaine Edwards out of Virginia Tech for some of the same reasons. And I know Eric was looking at Denzel Ward out of Ohio State. He's probably the top cornerback in the draft. The Bears have two decent corners, but he's also a guy you think about, because I don't think that's a position where you can have too much solid depth either. I think any of those three guys start for the Bears on day one next year.
And the Bears will go with whom?
Well, given who's left, I'm going to go with Roquan Smith, just because I think he's the best of the players still available on our board, not counting quarterbacks. And again, I think if the Bears can generate any more of a pass rush and give up a few less points on defense, that takes a little bit of pressure off their offense, which, again, has a lot of question marks.
Okay, so Roquan Smith out of Georgia, looking to apply a little pressure on the quarterback now for the Chicago Bears. And I know you got work to do, Pete, so we'll let you go here, but we greatly appreciate your time on this. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Good to be back on, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Anytime. There you go. Roquan Smith of Georgia goes to the Bears. Mel Kiper Jr., you're up. Tell us about Smith.
We don't have anything on Roquan just yet. I'm doing a search here. I'll give you a scouting report on him. Go to Eric first. I might be able to find Mel.
I think he's outstanding. I thought he was one of the best defensive players I saw all year. Maybe the best player that Notre Dame played against. And he sounds like a busy signal, but I don't know how it matches up with what the Bears need. But I think at some point if a guy like that is hanging around, you got to take the best available. Mike Mayock has Roquan as the number four player overall on his board, behind only Barkley, Nelson, and Chubb. So that's pretty high praise.
Very good. That wraps up our mock draft. Darnold, Barkley, Rosen, Nelson, Chubb, McGlinchey, Fitzpatrick, and Smith. All right, we need to take a timeout. Eric, would you have 2 minutes after the top of the hour to talk about recruiting, or are you up against the clock?
I can certainly do that.
Okay, so we'll talk about the Notre Dame verbal commitment in just a couple of seconds. Let's get a break out of the way. Sports Beat continues next on WSBT.
Here's Eric Hansen with what's coming up in tomorrow's South Bend Tribune sports section.
Well, Tom Noy has a column up on the Rice Commission, Father Jenkins' involvement with it, and the what looks like going to be an overhaul of college basketball. Chat transcript, draft preview, much, much more.
We'll talk to you next hour, WSBT South Bend.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malkus again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He tied, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row! Miles Boykin is in!
are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
Eric Hansen also sticking around for just a couple of moments. We just completed our NFL mock draft. We'll recap that in just a couple of moments. But Eric, you stuck around so we could get to some Notre Dame football recruiting news. Five verbals in 5 days for the Irish. The latest comes from the state of Georgia. 6'3", 185-pound safety, Kyle Hamilton. Your thought on the Irish getting a verbal commitment from another safety for the class of 2019?
Well, there's really good potential with this young man. He's from Atlanta, Georgia, Marist High School, 6'3", 185 pounds, pushing 6'4". Had some great offers. I mean, again, some of these recruiting rankings this early are kind of a joke. He was pretty far down the list in terms of safeties nationally, but you look at Georgia, just had him on campus. They wanted him really bad. Clemson, Michigan, Ohio State. This was a national recruit. His dad, Darren, is named Derek Hamilton. He was a 15-year pro basketball player in Europe, had been drafted by the New Jersey Nets, played at Southern Miss. He's 6'7". Mm-hmm. So there's some growth potential here. Really long arms, a kid that's going to get faster. I just really like it. And it's, again, another kind of jump into Georgia, another really talent-rich state like New Jersey. They got Notre Dame got Derek Allen, Tommy Tremble, and Sebo Flemister in the last cycle. And they have Hamilton and K.J. Wallace in this cycle. They hadn't gotten a kid out of Georgia since 2014 cycle, and that was Tyler Newsom, the punter.
25th best safety in the class of 2019, according to 24/7 Sports. So when you couple him with what they've done in this class already and this incoming freshman class, the safety position sure looks a whole lot different.
It does. You know, there's been an upgrade at that position, and that was the Mike Elko influence at first and now Clark Lee. You have Houston Griffith on the team this year, Alohi Gilman transferred, Derek Allen, Paul Mawala's in that group, too. Then in this group, besides Hamilton, you have Litchfield Ajavon, who's been in this five recruits and five-day spree. Tyler James is working today. That's probably why there's not a sixth and sixth day. He's off on Thursday, so that's probably when we'll get that commitment.
Do you think we're done for a while? You said there could have been another one, and we got one today.
I think in the next couple weeks, we'll probably see another one or two. There's a linebacker commit, and his name is escaping me, or a linebacker prospect that is committing on May 1st, which is Tuesday. Notre Dame is in the mix for him. I think it's a Notre Dame-Clemson battle. But there's all kinds of recruits that are – Notre Dame is down to one or two. There's a lineman, I believe his first name is – oh, gosh, what is this? Quinn Carroll from Minnesota. I think they're really close on that offensive lineman. That would give them three really good offensive linemen. So I know that normally that's where Notre Dame goes to get hockey players, but this kid is a really good offensive lineman.
For the latest on Kyle Hamilton and Notre Dame football recruiting, South Bend Tribune, IndyInsider.com. Eric, thanks for sticking around for a couple of moments and filling us in on Kyle Hamilton.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, that's Eric Hansen, Fighting Irish Football Insider for the South Bend Tribune. So what do we want to accomplish now for the final 50 minutes of our program? A little reaction to our Sports Beat mock draft. We have rapid fire. We have some baseball to get to. So, Sean, why don't we just get a break out of the way real quick, and we'll regroup, and we'll talk about this mock draft we just had and see if we think it's going to be pretty realistic or not.
Sounds good.
Then you can talk for a while. I'm done talking. It's all yours. You can take it from here.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right.
Sports Beat continues next from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Sports Beat continues from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader, brought to you by Blackthorn Golf Club, by Laven Insurance, the agency that rocks. See why at LavenInsurance.com. Goshen Heart and Vascular. Be the hero your heart deserves. Visit GoshenHeartAndVascular.org. And by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Bud. Sean Stiers, Darren Pritchett with you here on WSBT Radio. South Bend Cubs baseball at Bowling Green coming up. 7:35 first pitch, 7:20 pregame from WSBT Radio. First hour of the program, we held our mock draft on SportsBeat. Kind of fun to do because the Bears and the Colts both pick in the top eight, and we've got two Notre Dame picks possibly going, or players, should I should say, going in the first round of this draft. So it made this kind of a fun exercise. And if you're just joining us, here's what happened. Cleveland took Sam Darnold, quarterback from USC. We had guest pickers for each selection. The Giants went with running back Saquon Barkley from Penn State. Josh Rosen, quarterback UCLA, to the New York Jets. Notre Dame offensive guard Quentin Nelson, now the property of the Cleveland Browns at four. At five, Denver takes Bradley Chubb, defensive end, NC State. At six, the Colts. They would like to trade back to make this pick. We're not making trades, so for the sake of the exercise, they want the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, Mike McGlinchey. Minkah Fitzpatrick, defensive back, Alabama, goes to Tampa Bay. And Roquan Smith, the pass rusher from Georgia, goes to the Chicago Bears at number eight. Now, Sean, you picked for the Jets at number three, Josh Rosen, so no need to talk about that. But in terms of this particular exercise and looking at our eight picks, is there a pick that you love more than any other? Is there one that just made absolutely total sense? It was a home run for that pick, and you think it might happen tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the biggest no-brainer of all of them is probably Saquon Barkley to the Giants at number two. That makes the most sense. That's supposedly it's between Barkley and Chubb, the defensive end there. And so, you know, again, I said that if I were Cleveland picking at number one, I would think hard about taking Barkley at number one. So,
yep,
he's the biggest slam dunk, I think, to me of what we had in our top eight in our mock.
I know I was just doing some research online, and one of the NFL Network reporters that are going to be in charge of being at the New York Giants facility for the draft tomorrow, they tweeted out that it's pretty much a lock that if the Browns go quarterback, the Giants will take Penn State running back Saquon Barkley. They're not ready to get rid of Eli Manning, despite him getting benched for that one game, which was really weird last year. And I'm not saying he played perfect last year. He's been a little up and down the last couple of years. But even after that benching, they're still behind him, and they're going to try to put some weapons around him. So according to at least that reporter from the NFL Network, the Giants will go with Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State. The other thing that she pointed out, and this does not involve the Giants, it's pretty obvious Arizona at 15, they need a quarterback desperately. Carson Palmer has retired, and there just isn't that next guy on the roster. So it's been assumed that Buffalo and Arizona might be the big movers in the first round to get into the top 10 to pick. But at least according to this report, Arizona is finding the price to be too high to move all the way up into the middle part of the top 10 in order to take a quarterback. So, again, this is the lying season, and you can't believe everything that's being reported right now. Nobody wants to show their hand. A lot of false information is out there. But, yeah, the price is going to be high to get up there from 15 into the mid part of the top 10 to have a chance to take one of those four quarterbacks that people believe are the best. But if you don't do it, do you feel safe with your roster? I just don't know how you can go forward with the roster that you have right now. So if Arizona is not interested, that really leaves Buffalo to kind of pick and choose. I've read also the Browns want to move out of four. Denver wants to move out of five. So there's a lot of spots that are up for grabs right now. And I'll tell you what, even though to me, and I think you agree too, Sean, that there's no certainty at the quarterback, there's no slam dunk in this group. But if there's a team that sees a quarterback that they want, this is the time to go get it, and sometimes you have to pay the price. It's scary to pay the price, but sometimes you got to do it. The Eagles paid the price for Carson Wentz, and that may turn out to be a very, very wise decision. So a lot of tough choices are going to be made, and if Cleveland and Denver are open to trade 4 and 5, there might be a lot of teams trying to jockey for position up there. Again, I just, without a certainty at quarterback, it's scary to do, but I think some teams are going to make those big jumps.
Yeah, someone's going to have to, and when we get to tomorrow night, we're going to start hearing some of these triggers being pulled. I just think it's going to happen. It makes too much sense, because I don't think that when you look at Denver, Indy in that range right there, it doesn't seem, especially like from Indianapolis, it doesn't seem like there's anyone they really covet. They have talked about moving down already, and I just think if there are only two quarterbacks gone at that point, I think that it just makes sense that someone's going to trade up and try to grab one of those guys, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen, whoever it happens to be. I think there are moves to be made, and we're going to see him in that range tomorrow night.
Well, Quentin Nelson's going to be a guy that could really go a lot of different spots in the upper portion of the draft. It's all going to come down to those quarterback trades. Mm-hmm. All these other players that are non-quarterbacks are kind of being held hostage right now by all the teams that want to take one of these four quarterbacks. So it could be a very interesting night for Quentin Nelson. He doesn't seem the type that's going to be overly too concerned or worked up about it. He's pretty laid back, except when he's pouncing on a defensive lineman or a linebacker. Right. Then he's a different guy. But I have a feeling his heartbeat's not going to probably be overly high sitting and waiting. But Cleveland at four is in play. I could see Denver taking him. I could see Indianapolis taking him. Tampa Bay, I got to be honest, I'm not overly familiar with their offensive line. But the Bears with Harry Hiestand, that just seems like the perfect fit. And I have a feeling those fans that root for the Bears and the Irish might be rooting for Quentin Nelson to go to Chicago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I can't see Nelson getting past the Bears at number eight. And I think Pete Byrne was kind of talking about it. If they could drop Quentin Nelson into that line after you got a quarterback last year, it really suits what they want to do. They want to be able to run the ball and pound it, and I think he makes sense. And I've seen Mike McGlinchey in some of the recent mocks even going to the Bears as well. So when you've got that Hiestand connection and both of those guys out there, and McGlinchey has been a riser where all of a sudden this week he's kind of the hot guy going into tomorrow night. So I think there's a really good chance that he ends up maybe even being a Chicago Bear. I don't know about the Colts where he went in our mock at number six. I could see Quentin Nelson easily going there. Nelson was gone, and so Dean slid Mike McGlinchey in there. But I think McGlinchey's going to end up being a top 10 pick before it's all said and done, the way things are sounding.
Well, as a Bronco fan, I hope Denver moves out of five. I'm going to assume they've got a quarterback for the next few years in Case Keenum. And again, I'm just not sold on any of these guys as lockdown quarterback for the next 10, 12 years. Otherwise, I would look at number five differently. When you have a chance to get a franchise quarterback, you go for it. I don't think there's one there. So I'm fine with them not taking a quarterback, and I am totally fine to pawn off that pick to a team that's desperate to get one of those quarterbacks, because you're probably going to get another first-round pick next year and some other items, as well as a pick in this year's first round. So I think it's a hot spot. I think Denver's in a really, really good spot. And for Cleveland, you know, I'm not a Brown fan, and Michael Burch picked for them, and he knows better than me, but they need talent. They've got a lot of picks lined up. I don't know if it makes sense to continue to mortgage out high picks for other picks. They've done that a little bit. And if there's a wow player there that can help their football team, I think this might be the time for them to take that guy. If it is Quentin Nelson or if it is Bradley Chubb, they go for it. I see why they want to add more picks, but at some point, you got to go quality over quantity. And they've got a pretty good batch of picks this year. So to me, I get a little bit why they want to move down, but this might be the time to grab what they believe are two superstars and two starters for their franchise for the next 10 years.
Yeah, get some impact. And I'll tell you what. Michael Burch picked Sam Darnold at number one, and if I look at Mike Mayock's top 100, for example, he is the top-rated quarterback on Mayock's list at number seven overall out of his top 100. I would not be surprised, though, if Baker Mayfield goes to either Cleveland or the Jets, where I had Josh Rosen going at number three, because his name has been connected to both of them. And I mean, when you look at the fact that Cleveland traded for Tyrod Taylor, and you look at skill set, Baker Mayfield's skill set kind of mirrors Tyrod Taylor's a little bit more than Darnold, so that would make sense. And the Jets did trade up to number three, and you hear Baker Mayfield connected with them a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if Baker Mayfield ends up going there early in the draft.
Broadway Baker.
Hey, Got a nice ring to it, huh?
It does. Baker Mayfield in New York City. That might be a little dangerous, that's something you do have to worry about. That's for sure. All right. Sean Steyers, Darren Pritchett with you. Hope you enjoyed our mock draft in the first hour. Going to be fun watching the draft tomorrow. A lot of storylines for us. Colts, Bears in the top eight. McGlinchey and Nelson going in the first round. And we'll have the first round for you on WSBT Radio, courtesy of ESPN Radio. Rapid Fire is next as SportsBeat continues from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. SportsBeat continues from WSBT Radio. Sean Steyers, Darren Pritchett with you. It is now halfway through this hour on WSBT Radio. We've spent a lot of time talking about tomorrow's NFL draft. Who knows? Maybe some more questions and thoughts will pop up in Rapid Fire, which is ready to start right now.
Oh, you read my mind. Well, let's start off with this one. I tell you what, we heard from some of Mel Kiper Jr.'s draft profiles in the first hour of Sports Beat tonight. Here's one that we did not hear. It's Mel Kiper's profile on Equanimeous St. Brown. So take a listen.
When you look at just a guy who will impress you on paper in terms of his athleticism, St. Brown will do that. Equanimeous St. Brown has enormous talent. You look at a rarity as a 6'4 and a half, 214-pound wideout, but long arms, huge hands, 4.48 speed, and incredible upper body strength. So he looks the part of a top 10 to 15 pick in the first round. You say, why isn't he regarded that high? Because he was inconsistent, and he needs to be a more polished route runner, get in and out of his cuts quicker. So that 4.48 speed doesn't always translate to the field. So he's a work in progress, a developmental receiver with a little bit of a boomer bust surrounding him.
All right, Darren. I know, right? So after hearing that, I've got a couple of different questions. Here's the first one. Do you buy or sell that St. Brown would have been a first-round pick had DeShone Kizer stayed for another year?
Wow. That is a great question. That's one of your best questions in a while, and you have really, really good questions every day.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
I mean, that's a lot of hypotheticals here.
Yeah.
Well, with the running game Notre Dame had, it's very easy to imagine DeShone Kizer having a very successful season. Do we call it a bounce-back season? Because he wasn't awful the year before. It just maybe wasn't the improvement we were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of new wide receivers around him, a lot of new faces that probably hurt his cause.
Right.
Well, I think Kizer would have had a really good season last year with that running game, the play-action game they could have had would have been very exciting, and I would imagine Equanimeous St. Brown would have been a big part of that. You know, I don't think he is as good a route runner as Will Fuller at this stage of his career.
Correct.
He doesn't have the electric speed, nor do many, that Will Fuller has. And it comes down to this, and this was something I was going to bring up on tomorrow's program when we talk about all these Notre Dame guys. Sean, sometimes when you watch players and you analyze them, I try to do this. As a Denver Bronco fan, would I want my team to select him? And I've got a pretty definitive answer on every Notre Dame player. But this is the one guy I don't have an answer. The NFL Network has an Inside the Draft, or I can't remember what it's called, something running up to the draft. It's a long, long series of shows they do leading up to the draft. That's what it is.
There you go.
And they talked about a perfect fit in the second round for Denver would be to take wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown, kind of that Demaryius Thomas type, which I can understand where that comparison comes from. And EQ is the one guy I have not been able to answer consistently. One time I would say yes. Another time I would say no. I worry about the route running. I worry about his fight for the football in the air, which is so important in the NFL with the margin being so slim with the tight coverage. I've always leaned toward no. That I don't know if I would want him to be taken that high. Now, if it's the fourth or fifth round, that's obviously a different story, but if we're going by where I think he's going to be taken, right now, today, my final answer would be, I don't know if I would want that to happen. I worry about the compete level, and is he going to get a whole lot better as a route runner?
It's interesting you say that, because I've kind of done this as well with the Cowboys, who need a receiver now, obviously, with Dez Bryant being gone. I know that they wouldn't go after him in the first round. I don't know what they'd think about him in the later rounds, but I don't think it's a good fit, that St. Brown is a good fit for them, and not as much about his skills and his talent, but it's part because of the quarterback fit with Prescott, because I think that there are some similarities with Prescott and Wimbush, in that Prescott, he's unwilling a lot of times, not necessarily to force the ball, but to put the ball in 50-50 type situations. I think that was one of the problems. So and if you have a quarterback who's not willing to do that, and you have a receiver who isn't necessarily always willing to fight for some of those balls, you have a problem. And I think that all played into what we saw last year. And to go back to the question, he went from a 59% passer in DeShone Kizer in his first year, when he had a really breakout year, 58 catches, 961 yards and 9 touchdowns. He essentially went to half that production when he had a 49% completion percentage passer last year in Brandon Wimbush. And I mean, this is a guy who we were talking about last season in the offseason going into the year. Was he going to be a 70 to 80 catch guy? But he was non-existent at times. So I do tend to think that at the very least, had he had a more pro style, a quarterback like DeShone Kizer, he would at the very least be thought of as a mid to high second round guy. I don't know about first round, but I think he would at least be in that conversation if he had a more prolific type passer like he had with DeShone a couple of years ago.
On paper, he looks the part.
Yep, absolutely.
And at times, he looks the part of the field. It's just that consistency.
So, with all that stuff in mind, do you buy or sell him now as being drafted in either the second or third round, which would be Friday, the second and third round Friday?
I think that's definitely where he's going to go, second or third round. Probably his measurables gets him into the late second round, in my opinion. I'm pretty convinced he's going to be selected on Friday.
See, I've been thinking all along that he probably would, but again, I see all these latest projections and not necessarily the mock drafts, just where guys like Mike Mayock are ranking him. Mike Mayock put out his top 100. He does not have Equanimeous St. Brown in there, and it seemed like he was fairly high on him early on. And Mel Kiper Jr., though, did 67 of those previews that we've heard, those draft preview profiles, and he at least he had Equanimeous St. Brown is one of his 67. So that means he has to think something about him, right? So, I keep weighing all this stuff. If being drafted by the end of the third round means you're in the top 96, so he's right there kind of on the cusp, because I think he's got to be at least in the top 115 or something like that. So,
okay.
I would not be surprised if he went somewhere in the third round. But again, I think at the worst, we're talking early fourth. So I'll buy it, though, as well. Just by a narrow margin, I'll buy that he goes by the end of the third round.
Okay.
All right. So now, fill in the blank on this one. After originally announcing that he would use his grad transfer to go to Oklahoma, former Irish defensive lineman Jay Hayes announced today that he is instead going to Georgia, and that is blank.
That had me wondering if I'm in a time machine or if I've been sleeping and had a dream that Jay Hayes was going to go to Oklahoma, because I sure remember that. And on Twitter today, I saw Jay's announcement, and I'm like, what? You're now going to Georgia? What happened to Oklahoma? I'll just say it's very bizarre. I don't Good recall work. A grad transfer picking one school, then picking another.
Especially announcing to the world that he's going to one and then changing his mind. It's one thing if you sort of see it in reports, but it's one thing when he makes the announcement. So I agree.
Wow. Okay. Well, good luck to him.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it comes off as a bit impulsive, which kind of seems like maybe his decision to leave Notre Dame was, you know, it. Considering he did it in the middle of spring practice and everything. We don't really know why Georgia is his choice rather than Oklahoma, but I did see today in a story that I read that Georgia returns both of its starting defensive ends from last year. So I mean, it looks like he's going to be a backup going into this whole situation, but more power to him. Hopefully it works out for him.
I do, too. He's a great kid. He's a funny, funny kid.
Right.
But that was a really bizarre turn of events.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. I've got one more NFL draft question for you. And you touched on this when we were talking to Michael Burch, who did the picks for the Cleveland Browns in the first round. There has been talk about Cleveland drafting quarterbacks at both number one and number four overall tomorrow night. So which do you think would bring more in return in terms of a trade? Actually, drafting the two quarterbacks and then trading one of them, or just trading one of the picks at probably number four before you get into that drafting a second quarterback?
I just wouldn't want to roll the dice on picking someone and then you get stuck with them somehow, someway.
Exactly.
Or you don't get the full value. I think you almost hold yourself hostage a little bit if you take the guy. Then do you lose some of your negotiating power knowing the opposition's going to say, well, you don't want those two quarterbacks, so we're going to offer you less. So
exactly.
I don't know. I guess my first reaction is you better just trade the pick, because that's really rolling the dice if you pick a player.
And they seem so shell-shocked since they've missed on so many quarterbacks over the years. And I think, like Michael Burch said, it increases your risk of missing on two guys instead of just missing on one guy. Well, at the same time, it increases your risk on getting it right on one of them. But I agree with what you're saying, because if you take both of them, then you give away the leverage in a trade. There's more value in trading the pick, because then teams can give you whatever you agree on and then they can take whoever they want. But if you draft a guy, then you're stuck with him. And as you said, then teams know that's the guy that you don't want. So all the leverage goes to them. The negotiating power is out of your hand. So I think you're better off just trading the pick in advance. But again, going back to what we were talking about, if you're Cleveland, I think it's time for impact. And they've shown with some of these offseason moves, just the fact that they went out and got Tyrod Taylor, he's at least a playoff quarterback and has proven himself in the NFL. He's got experience in the whole thing, but I think they've shown that they're more invested in going out and trying to compete this year rather than just playing it for more draft picks in the future. I think they're ready to try to start turning this into something on the field.
I like that.
All right. I've got a baseball question now for you.
All right.
And I'm really interested to see what you have to say about this. MLB Network's Brian Kenny has been beating the drum for Major League Baseball to get rid of the error as the standard defensive measurement. He says there are better analytic measurements to use instead of the error. So, do you buy or sell Kenny's idea?
I heard this on the MLB Network. We were on the bus the other day, and I am all in favor of the Brian Kelly revolution to get rid of the win as an important stat for a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. I do buy into that. But an error is a part of the game, and I know we're calling out an individual for making a mistake on the scoreboard, but I think the game of baseball is about mistakes, and it's about recognizing them, and it's about letting everybody know it wasn't all the pitcher's fault. So I love the idea of abolishing the win, but in terms of the error, it's a part of the game. And you know what? That's a part of the fun of the game, is trying to be the official scorer as a fan at the game or watching at home and trying to decipher whether that play should have been made or not.
Yeah, and I think that you kind of hit it on the head with one of my thoughts on this. I mean, baseball is becoming tougher and tougher to sell to casual fans. So, I mean, it's one of the basic baseball statistics, most basic statistics that there is. It impacts pitchers, their earned run average, the whole thing. I don't think that making it more complicated to make it understood for fans makes that much sense. You know, so I think if we asked this question 15 years ago, it would have seemed like total heresy, I think. But 15 years ago, we would have probably laughed at the thought of all these drastic defensive shifts and just what baseball has become. I think, like, when you go back and look at that and watch that Moneyball movie and kind of see some of the thinking, I mean, that was all based around stuff that happened in 2002. So you're talking about, what, 16 years ago there. I mean, all this stuff would have seemed unthinkable at that point. All we cared about 15 years ago was probably getting rid of steroids. So, the fact that baseball has become what it is, and the fact that we do lean on these statistics, again, we wouldn't have thought that it probably would have happened. So maybe at some point down the line, all these defensive analytics and everything become more the norm. But I don't think it's a good idea. I think you do have to keep the error. You can use some of this other stuff for your own judgment and things like that. The guys behind the scenes, but I think the error has to stay.
I do too. It's just almost kind of the fun of the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just part of the culture, and it's a part of the mistakes that happen in the game and how it helps define what the outcome of the game is. An error in a game can define a game, and that's one way of letting the public know how the game turned out. This guy made a mistake, so I'm okay with that.
What are you going to write in your scorebook? Some crazy, DNP or, DN, I don't know, whatever the analytic thing would happen to be. I think it's a little bit crazy. We've got to keep the error around.
It's hard enough with all the shifting.
Right.
If the third baseman's playing right center, you write down 5-3 in your scorebook, and I just put an asterisk by it knowing that was a shift play. That's all I know what to do.
There you go. Good idea. All right, last one for you, and I don't know what you're going to think about this, but the University of Toledo this week deleted a tweet that said they would change their school's mascot to Shrek. You know, the movie character Shrek? If they got 500,000 retweets. I'm having a hard time with my enunciation today. So they deleted the tweet. So is it fair or foul that they deleted it after they got nearly 91,000 retweets in about 3 hours on this thing? So they said if we get 500,000 retweets, we will change our mascot to Shrek. They got 91,000 retweets in about 3 hours. Fair or foul that they took the tweet down?
It might be fair because Disney might have been online too.
that's the best point yet.
Remember Jimtown and the Boilermakers symbol with Purdue?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That had to change. It was too similar. So maybe Uncle Walt Disney might have called and said, that may not be a good idea.
Not a good idea. That's right. I guess a Toledo official said it was all meant to be fun, turned into a big distraction, though. But they were averaging 1,000 retweets per minute when they took it down. It would have been fun when Toledo comes to Notre Dame in 3 years, if Shrek was the mascot instead of Rocky the Rocket. But we're stuck with old Rocky, I guess.
Rocky the Rocket.
Rocky the Rocket. Since 1966, apparently. I know. Did all this Toledo mascot research. Who knew we would need it for Sports Beat?
Boy, I sure didn't know we'd be using that. That's for sure.
That's right.
All right. Great questions tonight on Rapid Fire. More Sports Beat coming up, 5:47 at WSBT. All right. The Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians squared off last night in a rematch of the 2016 World Series, and all of a sudden Kyle Schwarber looks like that Kyle Schwarber the Cubs have been wanting. Two home runs last night, and Sean, his batting average is up to .312 with an on-base percentage over .400. They got to be licking their chops right now on the north side seeing Schwarber swing like that.
It's higher than it ever was at any point last year, so, I mean, he got off to just a miserable start last year. It hadn't been that great this year, outside of a couple of home runs, but all of a sudden, there he is. He's doing what they wanted him to do.
10-3 the win last night. Cubs over the Indians. It is Lester versus Bauer tonight at 7 o'clock. The Chicago White Sox are in action this afternoon. It's gone final. The Mariners edge the White Sox 4-3. Chicago 5-16 and just 2-10 at home so far this year. So it's a tough rebuild right now for the Chicago White Sox, with some pretty good talent on the way. They're just going to have to wait a little while longer. Eloy Jimenez now playing in games for AA, so that's a good sign as they try to get him ready for the majors. Also today, the Nationals lead the Giants 15-2 on the bottom of the ninth. Tigers over the Pirates 9-7 in the seventh inning. Twins 2, Yankees nothing in the first inning. The Braves out in front of the Reds 1-0. Ronald Acuña, the top prospect in minor league baseball, called up by the Atlanta Braves today. And two other final scores, identical 5-2 wins. The Astros over the Angels and the Rockies beat the Padres. Let's get our final break out of the way, and then we'll close up shop, talk a little South Bend Cubs as Sports Beat continues on WSBT. 5 minutes in front of the top of the hour. Sean Steyers, Darren Pritchett, Sports Beat from 96.1 WSBT. Fighting Irish basketball coach Mike Bray is going to join Sports Beat Live tomorrow night at 6:07. He's going to talk about the Rice Commission, also about the future of the Notre Dame basketball program, some new talent coming into the program, and a whole lot more. I'm actually not going to be on the program tomorrow. The South Bend Cubs heading back from Bowling Green tomorrow afternoon and early evening, so I'll be on the bus when the show's taking place. We actually play at 11:35 a.m. tomorrow morning here on WSBT Radio. So Sean and Tom Noy, the Irish basketball beat reporter, lead columnist for the South Bend Tribune, they'll be hosting the program when Mike Bray jumps on board. And always good to talk to Coach Bray. And probably he's had a little time to wind down after a very, very stressful year. I'm sure some time at the beach house is right around the corner. But I'm really glad he's going to spend a couple of moments, because I have a feeling he's going to be a little energized to talk about next year.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's probably a little bit longer wind down this year after the way things went. You're right, a trip to the beach house is probably in order, but a lot of excitement with some really good young players coming in next year.
So Mike Bray on the program tomorrow night at 6:07 on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. And then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we turn things over to ESPN Radio for first-round coverage of the NFL draft. So you hoping the Cowboys move up at all? What are you thinking as a Cowboy fan? I know we have a lot of Cowboy fans in our listening audience.
Yeah, you know, I think moving up, they would probably maybe move up a few spots. I don't know that they're necessarily going to jump up. They're looking at receivers. The guy from Maryland is one of them. A guy from SMU is another one that's being talked about. Other than that, defensive line, that Vita Vey or Via or whatever from Washington is another mm-hmm. guy. So I think those are the two big spots that they're looking at, maybe linebacker after that. But I don't think that they necessarily are thinking that they're going to have to move up to be able to get what they're looking for. They're picking at 19, so I wouldn't be shocked if they just stayed put and see what happens.
All right, so the draft coming up tomorrow night. South Bend Cubs baseball is on WSBT Radio tonight at 7:35. I'm taking a night off from the South Bend Cubs tonight, so Brennan King will have the play-by-play. The Cubs have lost 7 of their last 8 games, and in those 8 games, they have been outscored 33-13, and South Bend only has 45 base hits in their last 8 games. They were swept in a doubleheader yesterday, and disappointment surrounding Jose Alberto's very early in the year, considered by Baseball America as the third best prospect in the Cubs system. And through 3 starts, he has a 27.00 ERA. It was warm conditions in Bowling Green yesterday. I mentioned, hey, he's probably never pitched in the cold weather before that he's had early in the year, but it was warm yesterday in Bowling Green. And in game 2 of a doubleheader, he gave up 8 runs, 7 earned, and 1-plus inning. And the Cubs lost that game 9-2, dropped the first game in extra innings by a score of 2-1. So the 19-year-old from Mexico off to a rough start. Again, the number 3 prospect in the Cubs system. According to Baseball America, there's a lot of hope about him. I know it's early. It's only April. Plenty of time for him to figure it out. But this is the first time he's ever pitched full season. So I think you have to take in a lot of factors into consideration right now when you evaluate Alberto's being from Mexico. He's 19 years old, cold weather, and first time in this full season setting. There's a lot of things he's probably trying to, you know, get under control in his mind right now.
I would have to think so. Completely new environment for him, and yeah, that's what this is for. It's all a learning experience, and he's got plenty of time to get things figured out there.
Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some buds by Blackthorn Golf Club, by Goshen Heart and Vascular. Be the hero your heart deserves. Visit GoshenHeartAndVascular.org. And by Labatt Insurance, the agency that rocks CY at LabattInsurance.com. Have a good evening. Have a great show tomorrow. I will speak to you again on Friday.
All right. Sounds good. Safe travels. Talk to you then.
Thank you. Thanks to Jerry Janowski. Busy day producing. For Sean, I'm Darren. Top of the hour, WSBT South Bend.